Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
How do we obey the command not to store up treasure on earth when we need to earn a living and provide for our families, save for future bills, and for our children? Today's podcast gives specific instruction on what it means to use money without treasuring it.
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and eating destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and eating do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God did not design us to live with an unsecured treasure. I once heard of an orphanage in World War II where all the little kids were having health problems because they couldn't sleep. They tried everything to get these little kids to sleep, and they just couldn't make it through the night. These kids were awake all night all the time, and they found out from talking to the kids that the problem was that the kids were worried. They had spent so much of their lives hungry and with all kinds of trouble that they just were, even though the orphanage was full of food, plenty of food for all the kids, still, they just were worried. And so they decided they would take a piece of bread and put into the hand of each kid at night when they put them down to bed, piece of bread. So they knew they would have breakfast, and those kids all began to be able to sleep through the night. We're like those kids. God designed us to need a sense that the things that we're going to need for the future will be there in the future, that we will have this, our treasure will be secure. There are all kinds of uncertainties that we can live with just fine. There are plenty of uncertainties in life that we can get by with and be uncertain about, but one uncertainty that God did not intend for us to live with is the uncertainty of our treasure being at risk. That's not tolerable. Your treasure is that which you need, and when your treasure is at risk, your life just fills up with anxiety and fear and worry. Usually when Christians struggle with fear and worry, people will point to that person and say, lack of faith. Problem is there, lack of faith. You need to trust God more. And that may be the problem, but it's not always the case. The problem isn't always that they don't have enough faith. It may very well be that the person is struggling with fear and worry because their treasure is in an earthly vault. And it's therefore vulnerable. Their treasure is vulnerable. It's understandable that they're worried. They should be worried. Because you can't trust God to protect your earthly treasure because He never promised to do that. And so if your treasure is on earth, then it makes sense that you would worry and fret and fear because it really is at risk of being lost. So life becomes tedious when our treasure is at risk of being lost, when it's on earth. Anything could happen to it. Your spouse could just leave and take all your treasure away. A judge with 1 pound of the gavel could take away your treasure. A fire could take it. An accident could take it. If your treasure is someone's approval, the approval of some person that you have to have pleased with you, then a mere misunderstanding in a conversation could take your treasure away. Unforeseen circumstances could take away your earthly treasure. And so in Matthew 6:20, Jesus commands us to place our treasure in a secure location. We're studying verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. We came last week to verse 19 of chapter 6, where Jesus begins speaking about what righteousness looks like when it comes to earthly things, earthly treasures, money, and possessions. And this today is part 2 of last week's sermon. And I have 2 goals for today's sermon, 2 things I'd like to accomplish. Number 1, that every one of us would empty out our earthly treasury. And number 2, that we would fill up our heavenly treasury. I think that's the summary of verses 19 and 20. Verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth. Jesus commands that we don't fill up our earthly treasury, and if we're not supposed to fill it up, then it stands to reason that whatever we have put in there should be emptied out, right? So there should be nothing whatsoever in there. Nothing. I'm calling you this morning to empty out every last dime out of your earthly treasury. And then verse 20, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. That's point 2. Point 1, empty your earthly treasury. Point 2, fill up your heavenly treasury. Now, when I say empty out your earthly treasury, I'm not saying that you need to get rid of all your possessions or give away all your money. We found last week that we are to earn a living. We are to provide for our families. We're to save for our children, prepare for the future, and even enjoy the financial blessings that the Lord has given us. So it's okay to own things. Just because you own something doesn't necessarily mean that thing is in your treasury. Some of the things that you own might be in your treasury, and other things that you own might not be in your earthly treasury. Not only that, but there are a whole lot of things that could be in your earthly treasury that you don't own at all. You don't even possess those things. They belong to someone else. There are poor people who have millions of dollars in their treasury. And there are millionaires who don't have a dime in their earthly treasury. Your treasury consists of not those things that you own, those things that you treasure. All the things your heart loves, the things that your soul looks to for joy and satisfaction, the things you have to have in order to be happy, the things that you work hardest to get or work hardest to keep, the things that you fear losing the most. Those are the things that have to be secure in order for you to sleep at night. Your treasure is that which you feel you cannot afford to lose. And not everything in your earthly treasury is necessarily physical. There are other things besides physical things. It might be your reputation that's in there. Or somebody's approval. Or maybe it's a relationship. There are single people who have a future husband in their treasury. There are married men that have their neighbor's wife in their treasury. Your earthly treasury is made up of all those things that you treasure, whether you possess them or not. So emptying your treasury doesn't necessarily mean getting rid of all your stuff. It did for the rich young ruler because all his stuff was in his treasury. But it doesn't necessarily mean getting rid of all your stuff. It just means taking all your stuff out of your treasury and putting it into your other account. You see, we all have 2 accounts. We've got our treasury, which is kind of like a savings account. And then we've got another account, which is all working capital that we use to carry out our calling in this life. That's more like a checking account. And so I'm not telling you to get rid of everything. I'm just telling you, keep the stuff that you can use for the kingdom. Just make sure there's nothing in your treasury. You say, okay, well, what if I get something, but and initially I got that thing for kingdom purposes, but now I wonder if it's starting to find its way into my treasury. How do you know when one of your possessions or something in your life has leaked its way into your treasury? Is it when you just start using it for your own enjoyment? Does that mean it's in your treasury? Well, no, not necessarily. God very often expresses His love for us in the form of physical blessings, and He wants us to enjoy those physical blessings. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So, You know, when you give someone a gift, you want them to enjoy that thing, right? And God's the same way. He gives us stuff. He wants us to enjoy what he's given us. There is a place for leisure and recreation and enjoyment of earthly pleasures, just as long as they don't find their way into your treasury. So, again, how do you know? I mean, if it's okay to have things and enjoy them, which it is, God wants us to enjoy wealth and earthly comforts that he's given us. They actually serve a kingdom purpose. They serve the purpose of enabling us to have a fuller understanding of what God's goodness and kindness is like and what it's like to be in his presence. And so they're very important for that reason. That is a kingdom purpose. It is. Leisure, recreation, enjoyment of earthly pleasures, that is kingdom work if it enables you, if it's part of your enjoyment of that is part of your fellowship with God and your it helps increase your love for God, because there's no greater kingdom work than increasing your love for God, right? Greatest commandment. So, if that's the case, then what's to keep us from becoming hedonists and just living for earthly pleasure? You know, what's to keep me from saying, I'm just enjoying God's love, and then I just plunge into a life of luxury and self-indulgence? How do I put the brakes on that? Or, to put it in Paul's words, how do you know when you've become like the people in 2 Timothy 3:4 who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? Or, to use John's words, how do you know when you're loving the world and the things in the world? How do you know when something has leaked into your treasury? Well, I did a whole message on that question on March 6th of 2009 titled Recreation. And that's in special messages on foodforyoursoul.net. I'm not going to re-preach that whole sermon now. So if you want a full study of that, you can go to that. Or we also talked a lot about it back in verse 11 of Matthew 6 in that sermon titled Our Daily Bread. So if you want a full study, I'll just refer you to that. For now, I'm just going to remind you of the 7 indicators that we found that alert us to when something has leaked its way into our treasury. Here's how you know if something has found its way into your treasury, your earthly treasury. Number one, when you're not content without that thing. Number two, when the price you pay for that pleasure outweighs the spiritual benefit that comes from it. Number three, when that thing enslaves you. Number four, when your hope is in that thing rather than in God. Number five, when you prefer that thing above what God promises when there's a conflict. Number six, when that thing chokes out the work of the Word of God in your life. And number seven, when that thing impels you towards selfishness rather than generosity. Anytime one or more of those 7 things begins to happen, you know something has found its way into your earthly treasury.
Those went by kind of fast, so let's slow down and consider them. Before I go through the list again, take a second to pinpoint one or two treasures in your life that you think might be in your earthly treasury. You might be treasuring them the wrong way. If you need to, hit pause until you pinpoint one or two things. Now with that in mind, let's apply these 7 tests. When you don't have that thing, do you lack contentment? Or to put it another way, do you feel like you have to have that thing in order to be happy? 1 Timothy 6:8. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Number 2. Does the price you pay for that pleasure outweigh the spiritual benefit? For example, sleep is a gift from God that He meant for us to enjoy. But if my enjoyment of that gift makes me lose my job, it's not worth it. Is there a pleasure in your life that's like that? Proverbs 23:29 describes how that's the case with too much alcohol. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine. That's someone who's enjoying wine, but the cost is too much. Number 3. Are you enslaved by it? Titus 3:3 speaks of the time when we were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. The world has various technical definitions of addiction, but if we use the biblical terms, it becomes very clear. Enslavement. Ask yourself a very simple question. Have you tried to abstain from something and failed? If so, you're enslaved. Number four, is your hope in that thing rather than in God? 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Where is your hope? Number five, do you ever prefer that thing above what God promises? Hebrews 11:25. Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Which do you prefer when you have a choice? Number six, does this pleasure ever choke the work of the Word of God in your heart? Luke 8:14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Life's pleasures can choke out the work of God's Word in your heart. Is there any pleasure that's doing that in your life now? And number seven, does your enjoyment of that pleasure impel selfishness rather than love? James 4:1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? If there's some pleasure in this world that fails one of those seven tests, then you know you've got something in your earthly treasury that needs to be dumped out. Think about what you could do today to empty out your earthly treasury.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.